There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
ass. Who is the gopher's ally? His friend. The harmless squirrel.
And that's how we start Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you all along. A couple hours of live local talk. Phone number and text line, the same. 343-0106, 251, 343-0106. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean. All right, lots of stuff to do on the show today. And we do have Senate hopeful Katie Britt joining us at 12:30, District 105, Representative Chip Brown at 1 o'clock, and a lot more to get into in news. But I think as we start off the show, what I've been getting the most traffic about, and I know we've been getting traffic on our Facebook page as well, is the squirrels of Bienville Square. Now, there's a lot of other things we could get into, and we will. We will on today's show. But let's start off with this. This is a long-going story. This has been going over years here. And now, this week, the city of Mobile will begin the process of relocating Bienville Square squirrels to a rural area of the county. Story from Dale Leash over at Lanyap. So these are, like, you have gray squirrels and fox squirrels. You've got tufted ear squirrels. You've got pine squirrels. You've got, there are like 20-something species of squirrels, I think, in the United States. These would be Bienville Square squirrels. A lot of people would call them gray squirrels, but these Bienville Square squirrels being relocated. The story goes this way. The move will help address overpopulation of animals and also protect the park's live oaks, many of which were damaged following Hurricane Sally in 2020, according to a statement from Mayor Cindy Simpson's office. Administration has argued previously that the squirrel population contributed to the loss of several trees uprooted during the Category 2 storm that made landfall near Gulf Shores. Okay. So these are the squirrels y'all know. And I'll have to say, as they're not their own species. They're gray squirrels, but they could be a subspecies because they're gigantic. Because of the number of french fries that they're fed. The number of peanuts that they're fed. They're a larger than normal. But I don't think, or maybe let me correct that. Don't think it's just the general tonnage of squirrels hanging onto the trees during Hurricane Sally that brought them over. It's not that. It's a question of the squirrels and the damage that so many squirrels, so many gigantic peanut and french fry fed squirrels can do to live oaks. Further on the story here, city officials contracted Fairhope-based Wildlife Solutions, Inc., good folks, shout out to them, to perform a population assessment of the squirrels in the park. That assessment determined the average number of squirrels per acre, that is SPA, if you want to use it from here on out, SPA, squirrels per acre, SPA. The SPA in the park was significantly higher than typical squirrel populations in other city parks. Okay. So, quote here says, we brought in a wildlife expert to make sure we were prioritizing the health and safety of the iconic oaks of Bienville Square, which, by the way, they're not as iconic as people think. I mean, there has been, Bill Finch will teach us that there were palms were more of a part of our city than live oaks for the early times of our city, said the iconic oaks of Bienville Square and the squirrels Mobilians know and love, Stimson said in a statement. By relocating some of the squirrels, we can keep the population at a level that is more sustainable for an area that size. This will ultimately make the squirrel population healthier and ensure our trees are protected. Based on the recommendations of the Wildlife Solutions Population Assessment, remember that SPA, the city of Mobile is beginning an effort to humanely trap approximately 25 squirrels in Bienville Square and relocate them to suitable habitat in a rural portion of Mobile County. Let me say this. If you interviewed the squirrels, and I don't know if we'll be able to get an interview with the squirrel, and you would ask them if they would rather fight it out in a rural portion of Mobile County where they have to fight over red oak acorns and, you know, maybe a few live oaks here and there and to fight it out with the squirrels that already live there, or they would want to stay in the land of French fries and peanuts, my guess is they'd want to stay put. It says visitors. Now, here's the change. Here's what you need to. Here's the BOLO, y'all. Visitors will soon see small traps in certain areas of Bienville Square, which will stay in place for a short period as the squirrels become accustomed to them. It's an old trapper's trick, y'all. Then the trapping and relocation services will start, be performed by Wildlife Solutions, Inc., which those guys are real good at what they do. I'll give you that. So so 25, approximately 25, will be relocated. Also, it says here a quote from Dale in the story. How about, come on, Dale, get Leash on the phone, because it says former director of Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch, who advised Stimson on the trip. How about host of Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast for like 9-10 years here on FM Talk 106.5, Bill Finch, who advised Stimson on the trouble, confirmed to Lanyap in a previous interview that the squirrels are indeed a hindrance to the health of the trees in Bienville Square, but he said they did not play a huge role in the destruction. He's had that discussion on his show and on this show with us. Finch said the squirrels and their proclivity to destroy foliage only accounted for about 10% of the issues with the trees uprooted in the park. The other 90% came from issues with the trees themselves or the soil beat down from years of foot traffic, he said. Total cost for the work is estimated to be $2,715, breaks down to $650 for the assessment and $2,065 for the relocation. So let me add this. If the foot traffic is also an issue, should we, at the same time we put out these small traps for the squirrels, put out bigger traps for human beings? Should we? You know, it may be the foot traffic of Mardi Gras there in Bienville Square. The people sitting on the couch that somehow always shows up at Bienville Square during Mardi Gras, should they be trapped in addition to the squirrels? And another question. So you trap the squirrels out. Because, yes, we talked about this when the story first came up. You could take a lot of, 14-year-old boys with Crossman 760s and probably get rid of the squirrel issue even more quickly than the trapping. But we're going to humanely trap them and then relocate them out into their natural environment with their country cousins, right? What happens, what do squirrels, other than eating French fries and peanuts, what do squirrels like to do with their extra time? Right, other than chase each other around. What happens when one catches? Exactly. So you're going to take 25 squirrels out and the population will fill back in. So how about this? How about we take the 25 out and then capture the rest of them and neuter them? Spay and neuter, like, you know, they want you to do with your pets. Do that with the squirrels. So they're not making extra squirrels. Because if you removed all the squirrels, you would have squirrels from distance make their way to Bienville Square and say, man, this is a good place to set up shop. Nobody's here. I've got all these French fries and all these peanuts here. I'm going to make my home here. But if you want to do the capture thing versus the pellet gun thing, move some squirrels out and then capture the rest of them and spay and neuter them. And you spay and neuter the squirrels. And then you have a population of squirrels that keeps other squirrels from coming in. At the same time you do that, they're not he-ing and a she-ing. Okay, but is it this Mike? Which Mike Bailey is it? Is it Sip and Chew Mike Bailey?
What's that?
Is this Sip?
Yeah,
it is. Look at this. I'm talking about our weekend shows and talking about Bill Finch and then representing 50% of Sip and Chew, Mike Bailey, Sip of Sip and Chew calling in. What would you recommend for a wine to pair with squirrels?
I've got a few ideas. Okay. I live downtown, and I ride my bike when I'm able to stay upright on it through Bienville Square every now and then, going to support some of the locally owned establishments there. And I've nearly wrecked my bike because the squirrels are so fat. They run out in front of you, and then they stop like a cat does, and then they see you and they just like roll over on their back because they can't run.
Right.
Because they're so fat. And they just kind of like, they put their little paw on their chest, breathing real hard, like, oh my God.
They are obese. They are, so, I mean, they,
a bit obese. I would agree with that. And, we got to keep the peanut shop in business, okay?
So, So what happens?
Maybe people need to eat more of the peanuts themselves, and there's other people you give to. But I'm also, if we're going to relocate something, relocate a few ospreys in downtown or owls. I think they'll take care of the population a little bit.
They do pretty good. Yeah, I've seen some nests there on the bank building, and a couple. I've seen some birds of prey nesting there, but obviously not enough of them in there for the number of squirrels. And it wouldn't take much for a bird of prey because the squirrels, like you said, are obese, and they really can't run away, and they could eat them.
It's been a few years back, but I've seen an osprey tear up a squirrel nest and get all the babies out, and you know it terrorized everybody in the square for that day. But hey, it was solving a problem. But my other solution is, let's relocate them out to Stu's house, because Stu loves to eat squirrels. He's got all kind of recipes for squirrels out there at his house. So I'd say relocate them to Stu's house.
Okay, so we take them to Stu's house. Now, what about my idea here that the remaining, so they're going to take 25 out, but the remaining squirrels are going to do what squirrels do when they're not eating French fries and peanuts. They're going to, you know, have a little... grown-up fun time, little horizontal time, or however they do it, vertical time. And then there'll be more squirrels. So what if we spay and neuter the remaining squirrels?
There's that, I guess.
It's just an idea. So
We don't have that big a squirrel problem over in the tiny square where I live, actually. We got a lot of cats. I don't see any cats down in Bevel Square.
So your idea really is either to take them maybe on ice to Stu's house and get him to do some squirrels for us, or to bring in more predators. Bring in cats, which I like to call a free cat roaming around, called a ditch tiger, is my term. So ditch tigers and birds of prey. Excellent.
Tune into the show, and I'll give you some good wine pairings to go with a squirrel.
Okay, can I expect that on Sunday, that you're going to have the pairings that would go with squirrel? Would you go a red with that or a white?
You know, it depends on the time of year.
I'm a fan of the red. Is there any way I compare that with like a Cabernet or a Pinot Noir?
I would go, I'd say with a Pinot Noir during the winter, and then summer. Let's go with a heavy French Chardonnay. How about that? Or something there.
Fantastic. All right, y'all be listening Sunday at noon for squirrel wine pairings with Sip from Sip and Chew. Mike, I appreciate the update. Thank you, man.
Yes.
There we go. So we have number one, Bill Finch, who is my man. Dale Leash refers to him in the story as a job he hadn't had for like 7 years. Not mention Dale Leash, are you listening? And not mention the fact that his big time gig here on FM Talk 106.5, Leash, man, we got to talk. And then we have backup from 50% of Sip and Chew, our food and wine show that's on noon on Sundays, with a little description, man on the square description of the SPA, MOS of the SPA. And then a possible wine pairing thing coming up. All right, I'll take one call here before we go to the news. And we have squirrels, I think, are in the news. I think it's snow and squirrels in the news. Maybe an apartment fire. I have not listened to Devin's new newscast. Jeff is in Mobile. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, buddy. I thought of something to be more humane to the squirrels.
What's that?
And actually, you know, benefit the city, and the mayor ought to be up for this. You can actually fine people that are feeding the squirrels, or maybe even sell them a permit to feed them.
Oh, my gosh. So you would have, like somebody would be there feeding them. You go, where's your squirrel feeding permit?
There you go. They're good at that.
So what do y'all think? A squirrel feeding, what does that cost, Jeff? What do you think ballpark would we charge for that?
It should be an astronomical fee.
Triple digits, maybe? $100?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
$100 for the squirrel, the right to feed a squirrel. Beautiful. I like it. We're making inroads here. So we'll grab some more calls on this. And some text when we get back to discuss the SPA, that would be squirrels per acre. And also a bigger question, too. If the footfall, the foot traffic is what's causing 90% of the trouble, and 10% is coming from the squirrel, they're being scape squirreled, right? They're being scape squirreled in this, and it's all being put on their shoulders. Maybe we need to set traps for people. You know, maybe... Like back in the days of all the metal stealing, I think back when I wrote for Lanyap, I suggested we made traps for the meth heads that would steal the metal. We would bait the traps with metal, and they would go in there and get caught, and then we could relocate them to other parts of the county. I did not say Theodore. I did not. I just said other parts of the county. You're jumping to conclusions. Hey, y'all. It's Midday Mobile. It's Monday. Glad you're here. Coming right back.
Church in a sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and
yeah, maybe we could take the squirrels across the state line, take them to Pascagoula. I mean, maybe they could go that far west. Welcome back, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. All right, and through the voluminous text here, and we'll get these hopefully finished up, or most of them. And we got Katie Britt joining us here in just a little bit. If you haven't heard, she's running for Senate here in the state of Alabama. All right, let's see. Mark, are the Bienville Square squirrels going to be able to communicate with the other squirrels when they are released? I don't know that. I don't know what they're setting up there. Leo, like many here, now I like. So Leo said, now that's moved around. There it is. Leo said, "What will this cost the city taxpayer compared to 5 10-year-olds with BB guns?" The BB guns, though, Leo. I mean, you really until you stepped up to the Crossman 760, the BB guns would get them sometimes, but that pellet rifle, that's where. It's when I jumped up my squirrel game as a boy. So Leo just suggesting this, but people have gotten even more specific on here, like Backstrap Stacker is have a drawing, so like a lottery system for 20 youths who can have a pellet gun hunt there. See what I'm saying? So you would apply maybe through Outdoor Alabama and apply for your permit for the squirrel hunt. See, I like that. It gives everybody a chance at least to be drawn. Brian says, "I'm sure the squirrels will miss the Peanut Man, as do I." Yeah, Peanut Man. Gosh, how long has that been, Brian? 15 years or so, maybe longer, since he passed. He said, "I'm sure all his natural roasted peanuts were healthier and kept them slimmed down." Yes, versus what they're... They eat a lot of peanuts still, Brian, but they eat a lot... I think they eat a lot of French fries, too. Let's see. So, a couple people here are saying that, like Jimmy and David both saying, if I could get an interview with Ladd People Stadium, I surely should be able to get an interview with the squirrel from Bienville Square. We're working on it, okay? We're working on it. We got the team working on it. We'll see if we can. Our people are talking to their people or their squirrels and trying to work something out. Is there any danger, Anderson says, of breaking up squirrel families? Quite possibly. You're on to something. The Russian judge, don't bring them down to Irvington and Bala Battery. We will eat them. Oh, it's not just Irvington and Bala Battery, Russian judge. There's a lot of places where we'll eat them. Bill says, I've relocated a few squirrels and it worked out well. Okay. Tim says, put out some rat poison and they will eat it. Yeah, well, I mean, I think that as safety would go, probably better to trap them, and obviously they're trying to stay out of the trouble of animal rights folks too, but it's a lot safer to trap them than drop the ramic bars out there, although those ramic bars are they work really well until the rats get hold of those and crawl into a wall of a barn, and well, that's a whole nother story. Let's see. So Preston, my friend and the late Miss Ruth Adams, resident of George Avenue, NQ Adams' sister, friend of my great-grandchildren's father. Well, anyway, she would catch the squirrels in a trap and take them to Municipal Park, and she would tell me they would find their way back. I didn't believe her, so we painted the tail with spray paint and showed that they came back, and I believed her. But darn, I've got my wife's late grandmother, Drama, who would catch them in her backyard in Huntsville in a trap because she had pecan trees. And then she would put them in a burlap sack, and she was the sweetest lady you'd ever seen. Put them in a burlap sack and then stomp them to death. This unnamed texter, daily I see commercials about 1 in 4 kids being hungry in America. Why don't we just shoot all the squirrels and give them to the food bank and get on down the road? Don says, they could relocate them to my property. The owls have gotten all of mine. And my future Mountain Feist Rat Terrier puppy will need something to train with. Man, you got a Mountain Feist with Rat Terrier? You got a heck of a squirrel dog, dog. I'm jealous. All right, coming right back, Katie Britt joins us right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, and we'll still, I don't know, a whole bunch of texts from the discussion at the beginning of the hour about the move here for the city of Mobile to capture and relocate the squirrels from Bienville Square. I don't think that conversation's over, so we'll have a continuation, I'm sure, in days to come this week. Also, on the news update there about what's moving in Washington, or they're attempting to move bills in Washington to deal with the questions about the monopoly on meat packing and what it's meant for poultry prices, but also for beef prices. We'll address that again. We've done many times. Aaron Beasley with Alabama Cattlemen's Association back on with me this week on Thursday, and we'll continue to talk about what's going on the supply side here in Alabama, why the prices are so high, but the producers aren't making that money. We'll get in that discussion coming up on Thursday. Actually, my next guest probably has some commentary on that coming from roots, deep roots in agriculture as well. Katie Boyd Britt, running for U.S. Senate, joins us now. Thanks for your time.
Sean, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it and hope that you and your listeners had very Merry Christmases and Happy New Year.
Yeah, it's been good, hopefully, for y'all as well. I mean, what do you do? Do you shut down campaigning? How do you do that? I mean, just frankly, like, what day do you say, okay, we're not going to do this, we're going to do Christmas for a couple of days? When do you do that?
Yeah, so like on the 23rd, you know, you're getting everything kind of, you know, kind of ran, you know, kind of pulled down. And obviously 24th, you know, you want everyone to be with their families and celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so doing that the 24th and 25th. And then unfortunately, the way that the cycle works is obviously the end of, you know, kind of the quarter is December 31st. So there's a couple of things that you have to do to kind of get that wound down. And so there's a little bit of that, but we did our very best between that, the 24th and the 1st, to just be with family and just to be with our, we did a lot of time just our family of four, you know, Wesley and I and the children. And it was so nice because, you know, as you know, with children this age, you have a lot of basketball practice and volleyball practice, and then a parent has a meeting, or you're going here, you're going there, you're taking a phone call. And we did our very best to just unplug and get to spend time as a family of four. So it was incredible. So thank you for asking. And now we are back at it and ready to go and excited about this final stretch. I mean, honestly, Sean, it was a bit like halftime. You know, we had 6 months of the campaign, and then, you know, that week between Christmas and New Year's, a little bit like halftime, and now we've got the final stretch.
Yeah, and I want to get into that and talk about the campaign schedule. Let me jump back what I was saying as we got started, too. So a subject that I've talked a bunch about on the show as, you know, a cattle producer and looking at the prices there, you know, people would often say, oh, y'all are making a killing, you know, last year, 2 years. And we said, no, the beef prices are not relegated to what, you know, Alabama farmers or really ranchers anywhere in the country are making on that. What do you, I mean, do you see a place in Washington, if you're elected, to try to work on that, to try to, I don't know if it's breaking up, you know, monopolies on this, on the meat packing side, I mean, anything that could help farmers here in Alabama on that?
Absolutely. So as you know all too well, you know, we've looked a lot into this, and we have been to all 67 counties. And I will say this, in the vast majority of those counties, this conversation has come up. And it's exactly what you're saying. You know, people are saying, hey, we're seeing the prices on the shelves, and our producers are not seeing the profit from that, which lets you know that the middlemen are really sucking that up. And so you have the four, you know, meat packer, you know, across the country, and two of those, Sean, are foreign-owned. Mm-hmm. And so I believe there needs to be an investigation into what is happening and make sure that there is not price fixing. testing and make sure that there is not foul play. And I'm going to push hard for that when I get to the U.S. Senate, because it is important that this still be a, you know, that our producers can see some profit from the hard work they put in and not be kind of taken to the cleaners by some foreign-owned entity.
Yeah, because I want to talk about small business and medium-sized business in our state, and you've done a lot of discussion on that. But you also talk about there's a big component of what we do here in Alabama is agriculture or forestry, and just making sure that we can stand. I'm not asking for advantage. I mean, maybe I am, but that we can stand on an even playing field in Washington versus other states and versus international concerns.
That's exactly right. And what we need to make sure is just that, because I will put our producers up against anybody, anywhere. But what we have consistently is we have markets that aren't actually fair to compete in. So we have to make sure that we don't have other countries that are undercutting what our hardworking Americans and Alabamians are doing. And unfortunately, we see that time and time again. And when you talk about small business, I think a lot of people don't think about the fact that our farmers, that our cattlemen, those are small business owners. Those men and women work every single day in not only, you know, out in the field and out there working and doing what they do best so that we can be fed and clothed, but they also are running a business. And so the implications, whether it comes to federal overreach, so let's talk a little bit about EPA overreach and continual push there to burden our farmers and our ranchers, our cattlemen, with regulation that is unneeded. You have the federal government working to get in the middle of their business in a way that they don't need to. And so you see that with EPA overreach. You see that with awful WOTUS, through the Obama years, and now Biden is trying to bring back with a vengeance, trying to tell our men and women how best to tend to their land, when you and I both know that our agriculture community depends on the fruitfulness of that land to continue to do what they do best. I mean, it is a cycle there that they've protected upon generation, and they don't need someone from the Obama administration or from the Biden administration, which these days seem to be the same thing, telling them how to do that. You look at that, you look at taxes, you look at the tax implications that occur, particularly with our agriculture community, I would say significantly the death tax. You know, you work hard to be able to pass on, what you've worked hard for, what you've built to your family, and the government now wants to have yet another taking. While they tax you your entire lifetime, when you die, they want to tax you again so that it makes it where your family can't afford to carry on that legacy. And so what that does is that gives foreign entities an opportunity and the big guys an opportunity to come in and buy everyone out. I mean, if you look at the record number of, you know, the farmland that's being bought up by China, It makes your head spin. It makes your head spin. And I guarantee you this, China is not allowing America to come buy up their farmland. That's a fact.
Well said. And thank you for being able to speak on this, because we'll have to do it again on another show, because it's a subject not many people that are running for office or in Washington can talk at that level. So I appreciate that. Speaking of the federal overreach there, where do we stand on the mandates here? I mean, we had one circuit say no, then it's back on. If you were elected, what would you be doing right now? What could you do as a senator to fight against the federal mandate on vaccines?
Well, first off, we must fight against them. I think because the left has worked to conflate they say if you're anti-mandate, then you're anti-vaccine. And it's just simply not true. I think what we need to do is encourage people. We need personal responsibility. People need to talk with their doctor, and they need to make the choice that is best for them. Never should any hardworking American, hardworking Alabamian, be put in the position, Sean, to have to decide whether they get a shot in their arm or they earn a hard and honest day's work to provide for their family. And unfortunately, that is exactly where Joe Biden has put us. It is fundamentally un-American, and it's something that we have to stand up against each and every day. Because rest assured, if they take your freedom, they will never, ever give it back. And I also think this has disproportionately been targeted at law-abiding, hardworking Americans. And I say that because if you are coming over the border, which we know is unfortunately happening at record rates, and that is happening as a direct result of weakness shown by the Biden administration, by him within his first 100 days rolling back so many of Trump's policies that we're working to fundamentally fix that issue. You know, we need to get back to building the wall. We need to make sure we put the heat on the Biden administration. The court has now said, after Governor Abbott has said, you know, hey, sued them to say we've got to put back in Remain in Mexico. They drug their feet. The court's now said they have to do it. We need to hold Biden's feet to the fire to put Remain in Mexico back in. You know, Trump's public charge, not allowing these immigrants that come illegally across our border to immediately go into the welfare system. I mean, we've got to get the border under control. But if you look at these mandates, you've got people coming across those borders. Now, outside the country and you're an American citizen, you have to have a negative COVID test to get back in the country. And then they very proudly put out, if you don't, then the cost is on you. Okay, well, these are American citizens. We have illegal immigrants that they are saying, come over, no tests needed, and guess what? Come on to our welfare system. Now, you explain to me how that makes sense. Additionally, you go ahead and look at, like, what they're doing with people on welfare. So if you really cared about changing, if Biden, I want to get everyone vaccinated, and he quote-unquote believes that that will change the dynamic of COVID, if that were true, then in order for you to get your welfare check and cash it, because there's clearly a federal nexus there, he would say you have to have the vaccine. He's not doing that. He's only saying if you're a law-abiding, hardworking American, you have to have the vaccine. And the extent in which we saw over the last several weeks with members of our servicemen and women, Sean, that were said, hey, guess what? You're getting fired because you won't get a shot in your arm, and you want to protect our country. It is appalling. It's absurd. It's disgusting. It's fundamentally un-American, and it is Joe Biden needs to be held accountable. As a senator, I would not let up. And I think that it is totally unlawful. It is totally unconstitutional. And I would be using every single means at my disposal to expose that, to get rid of it, and to ensure it never happened again.
Talking to Senate candidate Katie Britt, I want to talk about this. If you were a senator as well, when it comes to spending, you're talking about federal spending. How do you navigate this? Because the deal will be built where there's money for military, or there's money for projects that are popular with Republicans, that's built and attached at the hip with, you know, spending on the Democrat wish list. And it seems like it's never a conversation of less. In other words, I never hear the Republicans saying, well, I'll tell you what, we're not going to be able to spend that on these defense projects or these other projects because we can't afford the spending the Democrats want. Would you push for something like that instead of just saying, hey, I want all the Republican spending but no Democrat spending, and then you end up making a deal for both? Would you ever take less on the conservative side to keep the Democrat spending from expanding?
You know, Sean, in order to get this under control, we're going to have to make tough choices. And I think where that starts, you got a couple of things. Number one, you start actually balancing the budget. I mean, every single American household has to live within their means. That's what we have to do. And unfortunately, we've had lawmakers that have totally created a federal spending problem that is so far out of control, it will take us decades to get back in order, but that has to start now. I think we have to balance our budget, so I would obviously go ahead and you know, introduce legislation for a balanced budget amendment. I also think we need to introduce it into the conversation, Sean, that members of Congress should not get paid if they do not balance their budget. I mean, their job, that is one of the key, you know, cornerstones of their job, and they have failed at it year after year after year after year. Additionally, I think we have to go in and, like I mentioned just a second ago, make some tough choices. We cannot be all things to all people. We have to figure out what is the core, what are the core principles, and what are the core things that our federal government is responsible for. Let's do those and do those well. I do believe that national defense is chief among those. There are a lot of things that are tied to national defense. You know, I think infrastructure is important, you know, roads and bridges, and making sure that, you know, that those fundamentally being able to move people and products, I mean, that is part of it. But we've got to cut wasteful spending. If you look just at the facts alone, I believe the last time that they went through the actual process that was set forth by the Congressional Budget Act of 1974 was like 1996, Sean. Mm-hmm. And yet we have no one holding these members of Congress accountable. So whether that's introducing legislation that puts some teeth into that says, no, 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 you've got to follow the policy laid out before you, you know, or you know, whether that's having other tough conversations, we've got to have people that will make this a centerpiece of dialogue every single day. And so that is going to be my goal, because if we do not get this spending out of, I mean, under control, it is out of control. It's right. Saying by the year, Sean, I think it's like 2041, every single bit of our federal spending will be eaten up by entitlements alone.
Right.
Every single bit of it.
Yeah.
And so that shows you we've got to have tough conversations. We're going to have cuts. You know, we're going to have to get back to doing what we do best. And I'll give you an example of that. I think the Department of Education, I think federal bureaucracy is way too bloated. We need to cut it out. I mean, we send money up there for it to go through the hands of federal bureaucracy, for it to come back down to the state and local government or the private sector. Cut out the middleman, which is the federal government, and let people do what they do best. Also, things like the Department of Education. Sean, we don't. Why do we need that? You have bureaucrats that are making, on average, over $100,000 in the Department of Education, and yet we have teachers who are doing the most important job that you have, which is that of educating our children and giving them an opportunity for success. And yet they're making half of that. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. We need to get out of our business. Let state and local government do what they do best. Let the dollars fall so parents can have a choice. I think there's a lot of tough conversations that have to be had, Sean, and what I'm saying to you is I am willing, not only willing, but I will be right in the middle of them.
Right. As we, I know, obviously, this is more a Southwest Alabama discussion, but as, you know, as a question for the entire state as well, when it comes to funding, at least from the state side, I-10 Mobile River Bridge Project. This is a big one. I know you've addressed this as well. Tell folks what your take is on this new proposal on the bridge.
So, Sean, you know, kind of going back to government doing what it needs to do, I mean, roads and bridges are among those. And this is obviously a federal road, and it's something where the federal government needs to prepare, I mean, needs to be a part and pay their fair share of. I mean, I believe you cannot get from Texas to Disney World, which a lot of people do every single day, without coming right across that bridge. I mean, we need to make sure that there is a solution where you work with local, state, and federal leadership to create a solution that works. And I always say this, that local leaders know best. And so that is what I have been so encouraged about just in the current dialogue, is that it is led by local Baldwin County and Mobile County leaders and citizens. And that, to me, is where you create the best solution. I was encouraged that there remain free routes. I believe, you know, I am not a fan of tolls, and as your next U.S. Senator, I am going to work day in and day out to get more federal funding so that we can ultimately eliminate whatever is put out there, because I want people from Baldwin County and people from Mobile County to be able to travel back and forth to and from work with no charge. So I am encouraged that there's a solution that has come from local leaders, and I think that's the way things need to be done. It doesn't need to be done some bureaucrat in D.C. who's never set foot in the state of Alabama, doesn't understand the needs, doesn't understand that, you know, we had the fastest growing container port in the nation here in Mobile, that we have an opportunity to continue to expand that reach, not only in that region down there on the coast, but it will benefit the entire state. And we need to be able to get people and products safely and move them out, that we have, you know, four class or class five, class one rails that come right down there where you are. We have just incredibly unique opportunity down there. And I don't need somebody in D.C. telling us how to create a solution. I want local leaders, because I believe they know best. And so I am encouraged that that's exactly what's happening and that those conversations are ongoing.
Right. More information on the campaign, which is, like you said, you're in the second half now, the back nine running through to the primary. People want to get more information about you. How do they do that?
Yes. And Sean, thank you so much. And thank you for the opportunity to just be on here and have the opportunity to be in front of your listeners. So we have visited all 67 counties. We are so excited about that. I will tell you, I have a firm belief that everyone in this state matters and that no one zip code should determine their opportunity. And it has been incredible to sit down with people in every area and not only see the beauty of our state, because by gosh, it is incredibly beautiful, but also learn from the people, learn about their opportunities, learn about their struggles, learn about their innovation, and figure out how I can best represent them as their next U.S. Senator. So we continue to just get it out. If they can take a look at our social media, which is Katie Britt for AL on Twitter and Facebook, and or Katie Britt for Alabama on all of those social media, and then obviously KatieBrittForSenate.com is our website. We need you. We are a grassroots campaign, and we're going to continue to be that, continue to work harder than anyone, because we believe the people of Alabama are worth it, and they need someone that will fight for our Christian conservative values and make sure that Alabamians and the issues that we're facing, that we've got a seat at the table.
Katie Britt, thanks for your time. We will speak again soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. And Happy New Year to everybody, and thank you again for being on.
All right. Happy New Year to you. Tell Wesley I said Roll Tide, okay?
You got it. All right. Roll Tide. You got it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And we've had three of the candidates for Senate on so far. Believe me, here in this next couple months, everybody who will pick up a phone who's running for Senate or on the gubernatorial side or all the different races out there will have their time on the air with us here on FM Talk 106.5. All right, phone number, text line 343-0106. I want y'all to say hello. To people that did not hear us discuss this before, Larry Kirby from LCM is retiring. And his partner and my friend, David McCrary, is not retiring. So we say hey to David at LCM Motor Cars. Hey, man.
Afternoon, Sean. I wish I was retiring.
But you're
good into that deal, didn't he?
Yeah, he's
He earned it.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the number of decades there, but I do want to talk with you about the financing. So Larry and I talked financing so many times here, but what about with people with less than perfect credit? What kind of financing options do you have for them?
Sean, we can handle any sort of credit. And of course, you'll hear people always say, well, with enough money down, I'm sure you can get me financed. We really can get people financed that are currently in bankruptcy, which is a really tough thing to do. We have a lender that's here in-house that if you're currently in bankruptcy, we can get you in a car, and then you get credit for it towards your credit, which helps you when you come out of bankruptcy. Your banking score will be even better.
This is good. You can get the vehicle you want and rebuild that credit. Let's talk about people coming out to see the inventory of vehicles and to talk financing with you. How do they find you?
We're at 5711 Highway 90 at the corner of Plantation and Highway 90 in Theodore. Call us at 275-375-0068 or go to Facebook and check us out or go to our website, lcmmotorcars.com.
All right. His office is the one on the right when you walk in, LCM Motor Cars. David McCrary, good talking to you. I'll talk to you again soon.
Have a good day, Sean.
You too. There he is. So, same folks I've dealt with for a long, long time. And David's there. So, goodbye and say hello. Coming right back, hour number two, Chip Brown, District 105 representative, joins us right here on Midday Mobile.